Okay, so welcome to your class on the British media. That's for the recording, you see. Okay, so the first thing about the British media is that British people and Japanese people are the people who read the most newspapers in the world. Far more than the French. You know, there's always been. So, for example, there are a number of newspapers in Britain which sell a million copies every day. In France, this is an impossible dream for a newspaper to sell a million copies every day. You can't do it. However, of course, the situation is changing quickly because, as you know, the problem with selling newspapers today... how many people bought a newspaper this morning? You see the problem? Yeah. How many people looked at a newspaper on the internet this morning? Yep. Did you pay? You see the problem the newspapers have. It's very difficult for newspapers to make money. Of course, apart from selling newspapers, they have another way of making money. What's the other way they make money? Well, they must eat. They need to buy their baked beans and their cassoulet. Yeah, advertising. Now, you are not rich, so you're not very interesting targets for advertising, but, you know, they do try to make money in advertising. Now, the first thing is that sales of paper copies of all the newspapers are regularly declining. And we will look at some of the effects of this. However, many people now read the news on the internet, and of course the internet has a number of advantages. First of all, supposing you read a newspaper on the internet, or you look at the headlines of the newspaper on the internet, and you find one article interesting. Well, you can send the one article to everybody on your Facebook network or your Instagram network or whatever. This is completely new. Of course, in the past, I suppose you could read a newspaper. Oh, that's very interesting. I'll cut it out and I'll go photocopy it and put it and send it to my friends. Yeah, it takes a long time. Yeah, so you can now, with social networks, you can construct your own media to some extent. Yeah, and so you can do things that you didn't used to be able to do. The press in Britain, then privately owned and controlled, free to print whatever it likes, and limited by two things: libel law and the requirements of the Official Secret Act. Now, just to take those in order, first of all, privately owned and controlled, this might seem obvious, but it's something rather unusual. For example, in most countries in the West, we consider that it's normal to have a public television channel owned by the government. But we don't consider it normal to have a public newspaper owned by the government. I don't know why, but that's the situation. Newspapers are all private. Yeah, Le Monde, Libération, etc. are all private. In Britain, you can print more or less whatever you like, but you have to be a little careful. You know, if you print a newspaper saying in Britain saying Professor Mullen is a murderer, then you can print it, but some terrible things could happen to you. And interestingly enough, 6 months ago, a newspaper wrote, in fact, a Conservative Member of Parliament wrote, Jeremy Corbyn is a Czech spy. An espionage Czech. He really did write it, yeah. Jeremy Corbyn contacted him and said, if you give £100,000 to this charity, I won't go to the tribunal. And he gave the money because you can't do that. You can't call somebody a spy just like that. And finally, the requirements of the Official Secrets Act. The Official Secrets Act, then this is questions of national security. Now, in Britain, more than in France, we have two kinds of newspapers. And these are, whether they're daily or Sunday newspapers, these are, on the one hand, the popular papers. And I put them in inverted commas because the... Yeah, they're not. All of them are not so popular, but it's a popular style. And the other one is what are traditionally known as the quality papers. Again, inverted commas, because the quality, of course, quality is a matter of opinion. And the difference is, first of all, the quality press are bigger newspapers with more text in them, and they rely more on advertising. Also, in general, the quality press sells to people who have more money. And of course, if you're selling your newspaper to people who have more money, then you can ask for more money from the advertisers when you're doing it. Okay. So, first of all, then the popular newspapers. You don't need to be copying this out, incidentally. Just three words from the first thing and three words from the second. That's perfect. That's how you do it. Okay. Also, the PowerPoint will be on the blog eventually. Okay. So, for what are the differences between the popular tabloids? We will be seeing a few examples in a moment. They usually have large illustrations, catchy headlines, more sports, celebrity gossip. You know, who is Rihanna married to these days? I don't know. Who is Rihanna? Yeah, okay. Wordplay. Crime stories. Problem pages, the Courrier du Coeur. And scandal. But probably the most important element is that editorial and news content is not separated. So in the quality newspapers, you have news articles and opinion articles. And they are on separate pages. In the popular newspapers, there is always opinion in every article. It's a style. It's a particular style that you get there. Now, some of the stories, of course, are very light-hearted, not to be taken seriously. And I think it's fair to say that a lot of people read the popular tabloids for the sports, for the light-hearted thing. On the other hand, the quality papers, quality in inverted commas, give more in-depth economic and political analysis. So the examples I gave you on Brexit is the Guardian, the Independent, and so on. And they deal widely with social and cultural issues. Editorial and news content is generally separated. Yeah? So normally you know if it's an opinion or news. It's fairly clearly separated. Nevertheless, British newspapers have something rather specific. Even the quality papers have a lot of sports. Yeah. How much sport? I don't actually know the answer to this question. How much sport is there in Le Monde? It's a good question, is it? You don't know. Do you know or do you not know? Yeah. No, my impression is not so much. But if you take The Times, which is the most serious London paper, there's a lot of sport. The British are kind of obsessed with sport. Yeah. Okay. So let's have the final distinction here. The newspaper readership is often divided up along class lines. If you're a bus driver, you will expect to see tabloids in the coffee room. If you're a teacher, you will expect to see The Guardian and The Independent in them. And finally, there is a category which is not exactly tabloid and not exactly quality. And this is what you call the mid-market dailies, the Daily Mail and the Daily Express. So that quite a lot of the other thing is there are quite a lot of national papers. I mean, in France, how many national papers do you have? Le Monde, Le Figaro, Libération, L'Humanité. Any more national papers? Aujourd'hui Dimanche. Far more in Britain. Far more. Far more. You will see the whole list of them. And I have here also the sales. So let's look first of all then at the popular dailies. How many copies a day do you think a popular daily can sell in 2018? Now it's obviously difficult because if you want to read the news, you don't even need a computer. You can read the news on your telephone, yeah? So what would make you buy a newspaper when you have the telephone in your pocket? I don't know, but some people do. Every day, The Sun sells 1.4 million copies every day. It's true, it's not very expensive, but that's a very impressive thing. The Daily Mirror, 550,000. The Daily Star, 360,000, and on Sunday, 220,000. So these are still numbers. These are still numbers where you can make enough money to employ journalists and pay them and so on. So they're financially stable. However, at the second part of the statistic, you have here the change since last year. In just 1 year, The Sun has lost 7%, The Daily Mirror has lost 11%, The Daily Star has lost 15%. And on Sunday, 14%. So this is a crisis situation when you're losing 10% a year. How long will this last? We don't know. But still pretty impressive figures. Let's have a look at some of them. First of all, the Sun. Here are two front pages from the Sun. Now, I have chosen entertaining ones. I want to keep you awake, a minimum. Yeah, okay. But also, I've chosen political ones. The front page is not always political. It could be about football or something else. Yeah, but the political ones, they interest me more. So here we have two. First of all, here we have obviously a very negative view of the Labour Party leader, who is in a bin. Corbyn. Okay, so now there is something very British about this. French newspapers sometimes really do not like a politician, but they don't do this. It's not a French newspaper style. So certainly not Le Monde. Le Monde is an incredible newspaper, actually. First of all, they haven't discovered the camera. That's pretty bad. It's existed for 100 years and they haven't noticed. And secondly, Le Monde is the only newspaper in the world that doesn't know what day it is. Yeah. They put yesterday's date on it. So first of all, here we have then, don't chuck Britain in the Corbyn. This is just before the election. And here is the list of criticisms of Jeremy Corbyn by the Sun. Terrorist's friend. See, specialty. Useless on Brexit. Marxist extremist. Nuclear surrender, puppet of unions, enemy of business. I don't think they like him. Yeah, I don't think they like him. And this is something really, really pretty. That's last year. This is a few years ago. I think you may have heard this story. This is Prince Harry, who was going to a party, and he's wearing this as a joke. It was rather heavy, so and he got criticised for it, even by the Sun, Harry the Nazi. Yeah, Harry the Nazi. I'm not a royalist, but Harry is not a Nazi. Okay, okay. The other thing you have here, which shows interesting here, is you see here the holidays from £9.50. Yeah, you can get a weekend with a hotel for only £10, yeah? So they're obviously addressing a public who doesn't have a lot of money. Yeah, there's very, very cheap holidays going on. So there's the Sun, always rather dramatic and quite good with we have one more, which is a very famous one about Europe, which I may have already mentioned to you. A few years ago, I think I actually showed you this one, that Jacques Delors was the representative of the European Economic Community, and the Sun went, up yours, Delors. Yeah, va te faire mettre Delors, mais ça rime en anglais. And on the other side, you have the Daily Star then. Notice they're very cheap, only 30 pence. And here you have illustrations, and here's the story. I still love Diana. Now, this kind of content in France is dealt with more with magazines. It's magazines, not daily newspapers, magazines. Yeah, Le Closer et d'autres choses comme ça que je ne regarde que dans les salles d'attente des dentistes, je vous assure. Okay, et encore, je le couvre derrière le monde diplomatique. Okay, right. A little bit more of the Sun. These are some of the non-political ones. These are not so political here. The Sun a sauvé cette Anne qui faisait du parapente. Okay, yep. And on this side, then, two things. First of all, this is a play on words, which I'm not going to explain, but it's about a part of the body of David Beckham. His elbow, probably his elbow. Okay, and finally here, human interest stories. This is a television star who has cancer, and she's going to home to die with mum. Yeah, it's melodramatic things. The Sun also does have another problem, is that sometimes they just invent the stories. And I have one example here. When they printed an article about the leader of a trade union, and they said, the leader of this trade union has a home paid for by the trade union, and he has a luxury car. And 2 months later, they said, in fact, Mr. Crowe's home has never been subsidised and he does not own a car. Yeah, so it's like, yeah, we made it up. Yeah. Now, the other tabloid newspaper which sells a lot is the Daily Mirror. And the Daily Mirror is exceptional because it is the only popular newspaper in Britain which is not conservative. They're not very left-wing, but they're Labour. They're Labour. So it's an interesting idea. So here you can see the equivalent, which is the, first of all, the ungenerous picture of Theresa May. Coalition of crackpots. So it's fairly similar to what the Sun says, really. And here you have the list of things which she is being criticised for. On the other hand, this is one from a few years ago. This is about the war in Iraq. And it's again, it's a humorous one. And this is George Bush, who is organising the war in Iraq. And it's the speech of George Bush. But of course, it's a whole load of oil companies are inserted into the speech. So the message is the real reason for the war is profit from oil. But it's in a very humorous way. Yeah, I shall not exonerate Saddam Hussein from blame. I will mobilize our troops and jets, etc. Okay, it's not subtle. It's not subtle. Yes, that among the five national daily tabloids, only one is left-wing, the Mirror. Particularly when Barack Obama was elected, yeah, reborn in the USA, and on the other side the anti-war front page. So they sell not as many as the Sun, but they sell 550,000 a day, and quite an influential thing. And here's the last two. Corbyn, I can be prime minister in months. Now, interestingly enough, the Daily Mirror is not very positive about Jeremy Corbyn, because although the Daily Mirror is Labour, they consider Jeremy Corbyn to be too left-wing. Okay? Yeah. May is a dead woman walking. Okay? And this is an article about Guantanamo, the camp organised by the USA. Now, these newspapers have managed to survive, still selling hundreds of thousands of copies, which is a difficult option, and indeed some newspapers have abandoned that idea and they have decided to become free. So there are more and more free newspapers. What is the advantage of being free from a newspaper? Why would you want to be free? Well, it's actually cheaper to distribute. Of course, you don't receive money, but you don't have to pay too much. You just take them to the railway stations and you leave them. You don't have to pay the person who's selling it, and you don't have to pay. It doesn't cost so much to distribute. And also you can then claim to the advertisers. You can say, look, our free newspaper is in every metro station in London. That's a lot of people. Give me a lot of money for your advertising, yeah? So it's a particular kind of model. You also see this on the internet. I'm sure you know that some of the newspapers are free, and some of them... What are the other options? What are the other options for newspapers? Yeah? Right, yeah, you can have 10%... This is... Le Nouvel Obs do this a lot. Yeah, you have 10% of the article, and then you have to pay to read the rest. Any more options you know on newspaper websites? Quite a popular option is, for example, with Libération and with The Economist, every month you get 5 articles free. I think that's quite an intelligent idea, really, because every month you're saying, oh, these are good articles. And maybe, I mean, not when you're a student, but if you have a wage unit, maybe at some point you'd say, oh, okay. So, yeah, but 5 articles free every month, so you're being reminded. I think that's quite intelligent. Although, having said that, I have never subscribed to a newspaper on the internet. And so, and if I don't, I have a good wage and I'm interested in politics. So if I'm not paid, who is? You know, it's I am a little worried about that. Somebody wants to get me out of here, I think. Okay. So who was that? Shall I tell you who it was? It's not that interesting, but I'm curious now. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think it's France 24 again. Okay, there you go. I'm not available. So free newspapers. August 2018. So these are the new numbers. I got the new numbers for you. Metro, and as the name suggests, it's in the underground in London. Yeah, 1,400 every day. 1,400,000 every day. I think it's not just London. You also get it in the big towns in the north. No percent change. So this is an interesting point. No change since last year, so they're happy, you know, they've got a stable situation. And even a rise, the London Evening Standard, now that's very original idea that a local newspaper, it's as if you can imagine Le Parisien decided to go free. That would be a big change, for them. And that's what they've done. 858,000, and that goes for free. And here we have a couple of the examples. Metro. The European Union will punish Britain. Now, interestingly enough, that the free newspapers are less melodramatic than the popular paid tabloids. So they are a little melodramatic. You get a lot of news about famous people, yeah, actors and so on. And this is the London Evening Standard then. Yeah. May hung out to dry. Yeah. So Theresa May in a difficult situation just before the last election. So if we move on from we looked at the popular tabloids and the free newspapers. Now the mid-market newspapers, both of them very conservative. In fact, the Daily Mail is probably the most conservative newspaper in Britain. My mother reads it. So you can imagine, yeah. 1.2 million, a good number there, but minus 11% in a year. It's a lot to lose in 1 year. And the Daily Express, 338,000. And both of these, they are mid-market in the sense that they have a lot of sport and a lot of celebrity gossip, but they also have longer articles, slightly more analysis of economics and politics. So they're somewhere in the middle. And I have some examples of their front pages. Very conservative. When Margaret Thatcher died, in some parts of the country, there were parties in the streets. Not a lot, but nevertheless, there were parties in the streets. Which is something very original, actually, because people don't normally do this. I mean, for example, you know, Jacques Chirac was a very conservative man, and many people didn't like him. There won't be parties in the streets when he dies, though. It's not a tradition, and the only time it's happened in Britain is when Margaret Thatcher died, and this newspaper was very, very angry because there were some teachers who organised a local party, not in their school, but who organised a local party because Margaret Thatcher had died. So, yeah, the teachers have hatred. Yeah. And on the other side, then, the Daily Express joining the anti-immigrant campaign, Britain must ban migrants. That's right. And these are obviously working on the same market because they say, we are cheaper than the Daily Mail. So it's very, very direct, negative markings. A couple more here. Patriotic, a flag for every hero. It's for the 60th anniversary of the D-Day, or comme vous vous dites, le débarquement en Normandie, justement. In English, this is D-Day. And an anti-Muslim headline on the other side. Yes, they get the... things and Diana, of course. Diana is normal. Just one more then on the Daily Mail. Yeah, for the 50th anniversary of the Queen. and this melodramatic article, social websites harm a child's brain. So that's your brains must be harmed, I think, because I'm sure you must use social websites. Okay, the fourth group, then the quality papers. I forgot to put the inverted commas, but I should really, because all of the newspapers are owned by a very small number of companies. Rupert Murdoch and the other one, Thomson, they own a lot of newspapers. And sometimes people are worried about the fact that most of the newspapers are owned by the same people. Say, oh, you know, we're not really getting a balanced media. So we have, first of all, the first newspaper is called I. It's published by the company The Independent, but it's just called I. And it was an interesting strategy because this was a quality paper, and they produced a shorter version, a shorter and cheaper version. 244,000, and they lost 10% last year. Financial Times, 175,000. The Financial Times is rather unusual newspaper. It's printed on orange newspaper. It's a tradition. It's not on white paper, it's on orange paper. The Guardian, probably the most left-wing. Not very left-wing, but more like the Daily Mirror. And the Times. The Times is like Le Monde. It is the newspaper of reference. It was founded in 200 years ago or something. It's really, really old. And it's also very interesting, the Times, because, of course, in New York you have the New York Times. In Calcutta you have the Times of India. But in London you just have the Times. You know, it's like British arrogance. You know, it's just, we are the Times. That's how we think. So let's have a look at some of the front pages of the Times and the Financial Times. Yes. So you can see much more text, much longer articles. Obviously, a concentration on finance in the Financial Times. But the Financial Times is a general newspaper. They also write about the cinema, about sport, and things like that. But they do have a lot of financial pages in there. Again, the Times here. More recent ones. And, of course, they've had to move to colour recently. They have colour on the front on the front pages, including leisure, autumn walks, guides, and so on. The other quality newspaper here, the Daily Telegraph. This is a more right wing newspaper, the Daily Telegraph. And there we have more Financial Times on Brexit, the latest information there. So those are the newspapers, and otherwise I wanted to introduce you to magazines. Now, most of one of the reasons it's important is that most of these are available on the web, quite often for free, so you could use them. And I should really start with The Economist. And here you can see then the front page of The Economist, always a cartoon. Here, Trump. And they're very good cartoons, I think. This is China, the world's worst polluter, China. Now, The Economist is a fascinating magazine. It's a very conservative magazine. It's also probably the best written magazine in English in the world. The English is incredibly, the style is really very good, very wide vocabulary. It's very good for practicing your English because I like to use it when I have students who think their English is very good. I give them some of The Economist just to calm them down a little bit. So they're very, it is very British, because if you look at the French equivalents like L'Expansion, they don't have amusing pictures and jokes, you know, so it's very British like that. And also, if you look at The Economist, you will also find occasional articles about reggae and rap and things like that. They really try to go for the whole range of Renaissance manic experience. So, very serious questions, of course. Why business is leaving India? Yeah. Don't let Berlusconi off. And the Economist also has another very unusual characteristic, and that is that its articles are not signed. The journalists do not sign their articles, which is very Interesting choice. Again, a very old magazine. It goes back a long way. Another magazine, also rather conservative. This is an amusing magazine. It's a humour magazine. Now, I can't think of an equivalent in French, but I suspect that you're in the area of Le Canard Enchaîné, except that I think that Le Canard Enchaîné is generally more or less on the left, whereas Pravita is more or less on the right. But it's also very funny, and here you have, vote Trump, it's a no-brainer. Now, a no-brainer means a very easy question, but of course it also means a person without a brain, yeah? So, not very nice to Trump. And here you have, when they accuse Jeremy Corbyn of being a spy, you have here, Britain's top spies revealed, 007 and 00 Jeremy Corbyn. Yeah. And I think they're joking about his clothes, which are not quite as elegant. Et encore, ses habits lui ont obligé de faire un petit effort. And there you go, yeah. The scruffiest leader. If you like stories about personalities and celebrity, then you have Hello. This is Prince George. I'm sure you recognize him. No, I'm joking. You do recognize him. Oh my God. Yeah, this is Prince George anyway. And over here, GQ. Yeah. Really extremely important questions like, get the coolest shoes on the planet. You're not quite there yet. A bit more effort, you'll get there. Yeah, the coolest shoes on the planet. He does have nice shoes, I think. Yeah, okay. Et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Sometimes serious questions. This is Hazel. Do you remember what Hazel was? It was a terrible accident where many people were killed in a football stadium in Belgium. A wall collapsed and many people were killed. Yeah, that's why they say it changed football forever. It probably did, actually, because now more and more football matches, everybody is sitting, whereas they used to be all standing. Now, in Britain, there are still hundreds of thousands of people who go to watch football every week. And so it can be popular in France, but it's a much, much bigger thing in Britain. Otherwise, on the left of the magazines, you have magazines like Red Pepper. Again, this is available online. This is more left-wing. They are people who are very positive about Jeremy Corbyn. Jeremy Corbyn Hope. And the headline, the title that they've chosen, Red Pepper, of course, red for socialist, but Red Pepper is the idea of spicing up politics, yeah? Mettre de l'épice dans la politique. Enfin, pourquoi pas? And again, then you fight the cuts, contre l'austérité, focus on feminism, etc. The Red Pepper, quite an influential magazine on the left. And two more periodicals on the left. You have there on the left, there, Socialist Worker. C'est vaguement comme Olivier Besancenot en anglais, quoi. Vaguement, pour vous donner une idée générale. So, fight for migrant rights. This is the Socialist Worker. If you're in London on a Saturday morning and you go to the supermarket, you might well have somebody outside the supermarket. Would you like a copy of Socialist Worker? Yeah, donc la vente militante. On ne vend pas sur les marchés en Angleterre, comme en France. And on the other side, then the New Statesman, which is more that you buy in a bookshop. The Motherhood Trap. Why are so many successful women childless? Okay, I'm pointing out that we also have magazines which address a particular population. Here you have on the left The Voice, which is a magazine for black people living in Britain. Again, something very British. I know there are very small things in France, but it's not a general thing. Whereas The Voice sells a lot of copies, and it's for the black communities of Britain. And there you have, obviously, this month's copy. University of Glasgow made a lot of money from slavery in the past, and so that question being good. And at the moment, it's Black History Month this month. And here you have then, a Polish weekly magazine published in London. Now, notice that this is a particular aspect of media. This is not, of course, many Polish people in Britain read newspapers from Poland, but that is not, this is a newspaper made in London for Polish people. So the story, as you can see, is about questions happening in Britain, but it's in Polish. So a particular option there, or even they may be other kinds of groups. So here you have the Jewish Chronicle on the right. The oldest Jewish newspaper in Europe. It's more than 100 years old. And there on the left, Irish World. You can see the voice of the Irish community in Britain. Again, the option is not, of course, you can read Irish newspapers if you like, but this is for Irish people in Britain. I don't know if you know this, but Irish people, people can consider themselves Irish even if they've never been to Ireland and their parents have never been to Ireland. It's a heritage thing, a thing. That's what Americans do a lot. So you can meet people in New York, say, oh yes, I'm Irish. Say, did you ever live in Ireland? No. Did your parents? No. Yeah, that's about culture. And I'm going to stop early today. I'm going to stop there for today because there's a new section turning up, and also I need to get down to the Cours Clemenceau. So thank you for listening, and I will see you next week.